message and worked out good. Place to put stuff. Well, one more good morning on this second day of the feast. Being as Mr. Foster has already mentioned, I'm from Laurel, Mississippi. There will be a few HGTV aficionados who remember Hometown, a little fixer-upper show that shot in Laurel, Mississippi. Met a few people who watched that over here already. Laurel, Mississippi also has the distinction of being the birthplace of Mrs. Leontine Price, who's a very famous opera singer. So we have our claim to fame. There were many during the time of Jesus' earthly ministry who believed the kingdom would appear suddenly, all at once. Jesus, through several parables, would teach his disciples that that was not God's timetable. Mr. Graby also mentioned that God will work things in his own time, in his own timetable. Jesus explained, usually through parables, that there was a process, a timeline of events that was necessary to accomplish the desired result. What's the desired result? Well, that is the result of growing into the kingdom of God. So Jesus taught his disciples that the plan of God was not to appear all at once, that there were stages. God has shared with those of us that he has called out of the world here in this end time his plan, his systematic and perfect process of offering salvation to all mankind. I was sort of studying parables, or the aspect of parables and the various parables in the Gospels a few weeks back, and one of Jesus' parables sort of jumped out at me for this subject. It is found in the book of Mark, Mark 4, and begins in verse 26. One curious thing about this particular parable is that it is only found in Mark. It is the only parable that is only found in Mark. Now, of course, most of the parables sort of become intertwined and cover similar topics. But I would think that Mark somehow remembered this one in particular. It had a special meaning to him. It's a very short parable. It's only four verses. And it begins in Mark 4, verse 26. We'll just go ahead and read through it one time. He also said, beginning in verse 26, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First, the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Verse 29, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Many sources will call this parable the parable of the growing seed. And we all understand, those of us who like to grow things, I myself particularly like to grow things. I grow a very small, modest, little vegetable garden myself. So I know the concepts of growing from seed. And we know that crops grow at a particular rate, depending on the particular type of crop. Seeds do not become mature plants all at once, or overnight, or immediately. You don't go to bed one night with plowed ground and wake up the next morning and notice that they're all fully grown. Sort of a duh. We all realize that, right? It doesn't happen that way. It takes a certain amount of time. Crops are on a particular timetable depending upon what it is. There is a process that God designed that is active in nature, and it follows a carefully scripted pattern. And this short parable of Jesus Christ specifies that it's a pattern. It's not going to happen overnight. So we just going back up into the parable, it starts with a man scattering seed on the ground. So there's the aspect of planting. The seeds have to be planted. We know from the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 44, that God is the one who's in charge of calling people right now. John 6, 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Tell me, what is the chance of producing a crop, producing fruit, nobody sows any seed? That doesn't take a lot of thought. That's zero, no percent. Not going to get anything if the seeds are never planted. You don't have to be a scholar to figure that one out. If you don't put anything in the ground, you won't get anything back. Now, I'm from South Mississippi. You will get weeds. They will grow on their own. You can't, we can't really even stop those. So they're going to come out on their own. But that's another subject. We won't get into Satan's bailiwick today. We're just going to stay with the parable of the growing seed. So we don't have a chance of having a crop unless God is calling us at this time. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, just that one verse, explains what we're talking about here. This seed, he says in Luke 8, verse 11, this seed is the Word of God. So the Word of God has to be planted in our minds for us to have any chance at all of being in the first fruits. There has to be that seed planted, and then it has to begin to be nourished. Romans chapter 10, a couple of verses here, beginning in verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him and whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So the church of God has been raised up in this last days here to bring the word of God to be preached for the world to have any chance whatsoever at redemption. So first aspect then is someone has to be planting that word of God, that seed in our minds. Well, of course, then we all know that if the seed's planted, and there are other parables talking about landing on rocks or being snatched away by birds, but once again, we're going to stay with the message that we have today. The next process is germination. Back in the parable we read, where it says the seed sprouts and grows. We don't have to put conscious thought into that part. The conditions have to be right. the seeds need, of course, to have the proper growing conditions for germination to take place. Moisture from the soil will affect the germination. If there's not enough moisture in the soil, the seed will not germinate at all. Also, the amount of moisture in the soil will affect the speed of the germination, how quickly it will come out. That's something you kind of learn as you grow seed. I remember many years ago, I was a good bit younger, and I planted some carrot seeds, and wasn't paying that much attention, I guess, to having the proper moisture and what have you. And a couple of weeks go by, I'm not seeing anything. So, yeah, a bad bunch of seed. Well, no, carrot seed can take up to 3 weeks to germinate if you don't give them everything they need and the temperatures are not right. So I planted something else where I had planted the carrots. So, well, it worked out. I had two crops then because the carrots eventually did sprout and come up. I had carrots mixed in with my other vegetables I had planted there. So that aspect of germination will take place if the conditions are right. If the conditions are good but the moisture is lacking, that speed at which the germination place slows down. And that will affect your crop ultimately. Much like the moisture in the soil, God's Holy Spirit has to be working with an individual for that germination to take place, for them to be able to take that word of God that has been planted in them and for it to germinate and to begin to grow in them and give them the growth toward that kingdom of God. John chapter 4 and verse 10, we can read, Jesus answered and said to her, he's talking to the Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So our water is going to come from Jesus, from God through Jesus Christ. Had several messages from Jeremiah already this morning. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13 says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. So even in Jeremiah, we're told that that water needs to come from the primary source. It needs to come from the Almighty God, our Father in heaven. So that water has to be necessary. Otherwise, the germination won't take place. And we won't be called into the first fruits, or we won't make it into the first. We won't grow is what I really mean to say. We won't be growing. We won't be growing into that aspect of being first fruits in this end time. God has to be involved with us from the very beginning. Of course, God had to be the one to decide that he wanted you in his family and to be able to call you as Jesus Christ told you to begin with. But he has to be involved with you continually from the beginning. Continue to be a part of that person's life in order for that individual to be able to mature, to be able to produce fruit. Going back then to our short parable, after the seed sprouts and grows, he says, then it grows. It's first the stalk. Well, you don't get the crop first, do you? You know, I grow quite a few little vegetables, grow some squash and corn and what have you, and rutabagas. I say that a lot of times. People like rutabagas. Yeah, I like rutabagas. And you have to have a certain, you have to be involved in that, have a certain amount of involvement for them to produce as good as you want them to or as good as they're able to do. And once you have, but that's not what comes on first. The seed sprouts, and then you have the stalk. It says first the stalk. Now, of course, in the time of Jesus Christ, he was referring to his audience there who were familiar with the wheat crops, the grain crops they grew, and the stalking process of wheat is called tillering. Now, I don't grow wheat, so I had to look this up. But the stalking process of wheat is called tillering. And a tiller is that stem that's produced by grass-type plants. And it refers to all shoots that grow after the initial parent shoot comes from the seed. Now, we do have that on pretty much anything you grow. You have that as initially comes out of the ground. It has the two-leaf stage. And pretty much anything that sprouts and it's in that two-leaf stage looks the same. You can't tell corn from cabbage when it sprouts. Comes up in that little two-leaf stage. Grass seeds are pretty much that same way. You have those, and it begins to grow. Goes to other aspects of growing side shoots. Well, once again, this process of tillering is very dependent on the soil water status. If your soil is dry, everything is going to be slowed down, retarded. The nature of the stalk, which is going to produce your grain, will not grow because it's going to need the water to keep the roots alive. And so all of that's going to be affected by the aspect that you're not staying close to the water source. You're not living on God's word at that point in time. Your growth is going to be really slow. So once again, we see that this aspect of God's Holy Spirit is very critical to the growth of a Christian. This area of primary Christian growth is similar to when the stalk is growing for a plant. And it's necessary in order to support the fruit that will initially be produced by whatever the initial plant is that's been planted. So if, once again, we see God is needed in our support, and we have to stay close to God. I wanted to read 1 John. I want to go to 1 John chapter 4. Just a couple of verses here. 1 John chapter 4. Beginning in verse 12. It says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit." His spirit has to be there, so much like the water process. The moisture has to be there for us to be able to become perfected as Christians. Anytime along through this long growing process, the individual plants are very susceptible to being destroyed by drought, by insects, by the trials and tribulations that we go through the world. It can be very easily for a young Christian to get discouraged in their lack of progress. So it's good to know that you've got to go through some stages here. It's not all going to happen at once. We all have to continue to work through the trials that can beat us down. God is there if we go to him to help us to not be discouraged. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a couple of verses here, beginning in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." God is faithful to help us to get through the problems if we turn to him, if we put our faith and our trust in God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So we have this process of the seed being planted and then the germination having to take place and God's Holy Spirit being involved in these processes. And then the stalk or the tillering happens to be able to support the fruit or the grain that is being grown. That's the next part of our parable. We're told then the head, then the fertile kernel in the head. So the heading and the flowering of the plant is what comes next. Heading is where the head will fully emerge from the stem. That allows the plant to start the process of growing to producing the flowerings that will turn into the fruit. Colossians chapter 2, going down to verse 18. We've got to hang in there with this. We've got to stay with God. He says, verse 18 of Colossians 2, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, introducing into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head. So this is, that reads sort of badly. Not holding fast, you're supposed to hold fast to the head. So if it's a mistake to not hold fast to the head, he says, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. God is the one who's going to bring the increase. Just backing up one chapter here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Referring to Jesus Christ, says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Our growth process never gets away from that need to have God foremost in our lives, to be holding fast to the head of the church, that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have to have that source of moisture, that Holy Spirit of God, or Satan will be able to deviate us from our path to the kingdom of God, keep us from growing into God's kingdom. Well, we've planted the seed, and it has germinated, and we've had moisture, and we've grown a stalk, and we've produced a head. And then it has to mature. Like, process keeps going. Like, well, we've got there and we've produced fruit. Well, you've got to mature in that fruit. After that pollination stage, the ripening stage begins. And this continues until the grain is fully mature. Until the grain is at a state where it is stable and it can be harvested and used for God's purpose. It's interesting to note that, as I mentioned up until this time, many things can wipe out your crop. Those droughts, insects, diseases can come in and remove your access to God and destroy the crop. But once that grain has matured, has come to the point where it has hardened itself, along with the help of the moisture, from God's Holy Spirit, that grain becomes hardened for its purpose. It's very hard to destroy it at that point in time. It is very hard to destroy it at that point in time. Once it has matured to the point, it doesn't have near as much dependence on the rains and the nutrients anymore, because it is ready for God's purpose. And it is able then to produce the crop that Jesus Christ wants produced in us. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse 8. tells us that those seeds that were able to be planted and germinated and grow into plants and produce fruit, those that fell on good soil, it says, but others fell on good soil and yielded a crop. They yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. In the same manner, the plan of God follows an important procedure in saving as many people as possible and giving them a chance to be part of the future kingdom of God that will be established here on the earth. As Christians in the body of Christ, we are growing toward that kingdom. We may be in one of the other phases. We may be germinating. We may be tillering. We may be producing the flowers that will bring the fruit. We're not there yet. So we have to stay really close to God because we need to have good, solid, healthy spiritual food and water as we mature and gain deeper knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. We see that this parable explains what we already know as members of the Church of God about God's holy day plan, how he works on a definite timetable. We learn through the holy day plan of God that he has a very specific timeline that he's working with. We understand that these holy days, these festivals, are not just for the ancient Israelites. These were designed for all of mankind. These festivals were observed by Jesus Christ during his lifetime. The apostles kept them, and even first century church kept these days after Christ's resurrection. We have been given that knowledge at this point in time. I wanted to bring this back then. If we are able to stay close to God, God has a plan for all of us. Back in Isaiah chapter 25, because we are here at God's Feast of Ingathering here, the third season, Isaiah chapter 25, because part of my message was we can't allow ourselves to be distracted and discouraged by the world around us. Isaiah chapter 25, if we are staying close to God and following Jesus Christ, read here in verse 1, it says, O Lord, you are my God, I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. That was our message yesterday. Praise God. Work through that aspect of being praising to God. Going down to verse 6, it says, And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the leaves, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the leaves. We're here getting a taste of that here in this Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 7, it says, And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Once again, an aspect back to how Satan has blinded this world. And finally then, in verse 8, it says, He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. We know it will happen because the final words in verse 8, it says, For the Lord has spoken. So we have faith in God's holy day plan. That's why we are here. So we still have a week to rely on the messages to learn and to gain knowledge from this Feast of Tabernacles so that we can stay close to God and we can continue to grow all the way into God's kingdom.